are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
You know, I, like a lot of history buffs, was a big fan of Band of Brothers. And coming into this, I wasn't even sure that I was expecting that. And coming out of it, I'm not sure what I was expecting anyway, though I did learn a lot more of American racism from the 50s than I was expecting. That's for sure. But yeah, we are talking about The Liberator, which is a miniseries on Netflix. I am Ben. With me, we do have Jenna.
Well, hello, everyone.
We have Elliot.
Hello.
And we have Mark.
Hello, hello, hello.
And yeah, this is a 4-episode miniseries, which, as I kind of hinted at, there is about the war and kind of about a platoon, but more directly about our main character, Felix Shotgun Sparks, who I don't remember ever being called Shotgun in the series, but whatever, played by Bradley James. And he's basically a guy who rejoins the military just before World War II, just basically because he's broke, and takes on a platoon of mixed race soldiers, primarily Mexican, Native American, and basically white yokels out in Oklahoma. They basically, you know, become comrades, kind of understanding each other's, you know, issues and racism. And when they get to World War II, progressively shit hits the fan repeatedly for them. And it's kind of a lot of Felix's trials and tribulations with dealing with that and dealing with being part of that, being part of the war and being in charge of these men and risking their lives.
Sparks is the only white man that white people can feel good about. And his record is pretty clean after all the amazing work he did. I mean, I don't really like war movies, but it was nice to finally find someone in history who wasn't trash and really tried to help. And to see that was a shared sentiment. We often hear about these atrocious, like, tragedies of just ridiculousness and violence told in so many ways, but it was nice to see.
Yeah, it was surprisingly positive.
Yeah, right? It was nice to see, like, oh man, people really did, like, put their lives on the line. It was just nice to get this perspective on World War II.
And I do want to say, like, they did a good job with representation of these characters, too. I believe every character was actually played by a Latino, if it was, you know, Mexican-American or, you know, a Native American, of at least of some type, if it was a Native character. Because, mm-hmm. Like, the main one, Samuel Coldfoot, was played by Martin Sensmeyer, who I believe is from Anchorage. So he's at least Inuit by heritage there. You know, like, that's not always that common. And it's very nice that they actually did go out of their way to get proper representation for these characters.
When I was watching this, that was one of the things that stood out. And the fact that they weren't one-dimensional either, because a lot of this story in this miniseries, once you realize we're following the narrative of a singular character, but you go through the trauma with him of, like, getting to know these people, getting attached, because you spend quite a bit of time with them. And although it's a bit sanitized, they still know how to, the writing was good enough to know how to draw me into their world and really hit those emotional beats. So when I got to know these characters, I was glad that they weren't written to be one-dimensional. I was glad that they showed, you know, a Mexican-American interacting with a Native American and there'd be some, you know, a little bit of ignorance there and how they dealt with that cultural, like, interactions. And it was just like, they wrote those characters really well. That I was happy about, because they also could have done different, you know?
Yeah. I really liked seeing, for once, a very positive American story that did not feel like the typical World War II or When We Were Great propaganda. It didn't feel like that at all, because it shows this sterling soldier, and it shows people that rise to the occasion and real bravery and real compassion, but it's not afraid to show you all the different aspects of war that royally are horrible, i.e. war itself and the killing, but also, you know, the atrocities that are committed on the civilian population, as well as even the stupidity and bureaucracy of the more academic and official capacities. And I, on that level, I think it gave a pretty varied experience, and I give it, you know, a versatile experience, and I give it a credit for that.
I think the biggest thing we haven't touched on about this, though, is this isn't just a war show or movie. It's an animated thing.
There it is. Yep.
And
go ahead.
I don't know why it is, nor am I sure how much of it is actually animated or how much of it is just rotoscoped video with bad posterization from Photoshop.
Yeah, it was like a cel-shaded rotoscope, right?
I mean, I don't know that. No, you're right. No, that animation at first, I was like, what are you? You're right. It was kind of, it just took me off guard. But then I was like, am I watching a comic book movie?
Right.
And then I kind of sat with that and I was like, okay, if I look at this like a comic book movie, then I will be fine. And that's literally what I did. And then I got over it. And I was like, okay. Because I don't know that. Yeah, you're right. Because the animation also threw me off when they got into these serious situations.
I saw some artistic license they took with it. Like if you look really careful, I mean, there are things that I really was amazed by. Like whenever there was a gritty scene, I don't know if you noticed this, but they would include the detail of dust on the camera lens and debris on the camera lens and stuff. Right. So I think they were trying to do it to get kind of an authentic feeling, except that it is a very jarring type of, it's not really animation. It's rotoscope with some cel shading. And that's not animation.
Sometimes it's very good. Like as we were talking just there, I've been clicking through like the Netflix stills. Some of them look so fantastic. Look like a great panel from a comic book. And then other ones, it looks like that thing where your buddy like tries to Photoshop his face onto a comic book panel. And it's like, your face was added into this scene or feels like it. And it's so back and forth throughout this whole series. It really makes me question why they did it.
Yeah, it was such a different choice, which, I mean, it's clear why they did it because it hasn't been done before. And they were able to package this. When you use animation or animation-like mediums, you can reach a broader audience, which means they could have sanitized a little bit like they did here. And it made me feel like I was watching, like this would be something I would watch around Christmas, you know what I mean? With kids or something. Even though it had its violence, it has that feel of just like, okay, you wanted me to feel like I'm watching something that I can be learning from. It's entertaining, but I'm not going to get this gritty realism that you would think with this topic, it would be handled with a little bit, you know, it gets handled with so much care. So this did take me, the animation did kind of, I'm trying to not give it points, but it's hard because I like the animation though. It's really weird.
I'm glad you guys said that because it really threw me off. And I spent a large part of the time in the more slower aspects of it and the more poignant aspects of it going, why'd you animate this? I mean, if you want to call it that, I mean, what is this supposed to do? And then I saw, like I said, the debris thing kind of, I was like, all right, that's kind of a neat reason. Why else did you do it? And I couldn't figure it out. I mean, there are some, I thought that first of all, maybe it was just used to do sepia tones, but no, they do clear days where there's no sepia at all. So that went out the window. I don't know. It was just a curious choice. Maybe it was just, this is my artistic vision and this is how we're going to do it.
I think somebody said, oh no, we're just making another World War II film. How do we add something to this to stand out? And someone said, hey, let's just fucking rotoscope it and put a shitty, you know, run it through some shitty filter on a computer. And they all said, yeah, that sounds good, and moved on.
Well, see, I would think that, except for if you look at the director who directed the whole series, I'm going to mispronounce this to hell, Gregor Jankowski, or Jankatis. He is a first-time director past short. Otherwise, he is a pretty prolific visual effects artist for everything from a lot of Star Wars to Avengers.
Oh, wow.
He's worked with, clearly, Disney quite a bit. So this guy is no slouch in special effects. He is a very seasoned professional. So I think he came into this with this idea And I mean, honestly, the tech behind it, I'm sure, is probably pretty great. I don't think it was necessarily the right choice in the long run here, because it really throws off an already odd mix the way the rest of this series feels when you're going through it, because it goes from the big punch about, you know, the racial injustice and, you know, bad representation in the army of race. Like, it goes on from there to just be kind of a general Band of Brothers story and why we really much, you know, should respect Felix, to just kind of like the darkest parts of the war.
I think now that I look back on it, I think when it goes to the animation, it gave us a way to not imprint our own viewer, like our own expectations onto the film, because it's handling a subject and the way it's handling it. If you look at the way the story is framed, like I said, this is a very...
Like a form of differentiation or...
Yeah. So yeah, like the way it was animated. And I personally thought it didn't look bad. I actually thought it was really, I thought it was done really well, because I've seen A Scanner Darkly and I actually didn't like it because my eyes would get tired. Like, it was too much going on. With this, I could follow it easier. And I don't know, it was just easier on the eyes. The animation just flowed better to me personally. But it was definitely one of those things where it's like, okay, you didn't want me to imprint my own expectations. You needed me to go into your world or go into this world. And I needed to go with it the way you're framing it, or it's not going to work. And I just kind of like went with it because it wasn't ugly to look at. So
yeah, after the third chapter, I really wasn't even thinking about it anymore.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's easy to kind of move past.
I don't know, I think there's a lot of transitions for me that kind of like felt a little muddy, where it would take a second for the animation to sort of clear up or sort of adjust to what I was trying to show you. But yeah, it wasn't super distracting.
It takes a bit. And every once in a while, there is something that does take me out of it. But we're kind of harping on that. I do want to say the thing that really throws me is like that first episode really hammers home the thing about race. Like, it's going to be the biggest thing in the series. There's even, as we joked about before the recording, a character who, like, oh, where is he? And he's clearly their translator who got like taken by the Nazis, and they're like just interrogating him. But the Nazi also went to MIT, and the kid's from Boston, and they're like joking around about the city. And then like the Nazi tries to like be really blunt about, well, you say they're also Americans, but you also won't let them drink in certain places. America's very racist. One, hit the audience over the head with it. And two, this is a character who clearly is okay with all of these other people and is not a racist one. Like, movie, you couldn't like say the moral lesson for a character that actually is showing being bigoted and then trying to say America's better than the Nazis. Like, you're not, even if it's true to the book and true to real life, the book that this is based on, I feel like that is almost cheating the audience and cheating the moral you're trying to, you know, wag in the audience's faces by doing that.
Yeah, because they really left out an opportunity to really pull up historically that they definitely pulled their whole operation from American slavery. So you really could have actually driven something that historically is known without, like how you said.
I think they were trying to give the message the HBO Watchmen series gave. You know, like what the African-American experience was for some. Actually, it was World War I in there, but it was the same idea. You know, why are you fighting for these guys? They don't care about you. And the hardest part about that in both series is it's true.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they were either going for an Inglorious Bastards surreal moment, you know, like the beginning of that film, or they were just trying to show, give you a little perspective and go, don't think we're clean.
I just think it doesn't work when so much more of even that first episode of the actual history of Sparks with this unit and, you know, the racism they faced was even a better perspective on that. Even Coldfoot gets a scene, which is directly what that Nazi is referencing, of not being allowed to drink in certain places. And that would have been such better just leaving it to that instead of this one scene that to then be like, and then here's something that, as you said, is a little bit surreal. And I feel like that it's something this does a little bit a few other times, but that was the most glaring moment of it.
It's almost like they chickened out, you know, like, okay, we kind of made this point, but we really don't need to stress it, right, guys? Right, moving on. Yeah, those guys sure are racist Nazis, aren't they? You know, and it's like, and right after that episode, you're right, it's almost standardized. You know, that's kind of gone out the wayside. They're all just soldiers now after boot camp.
Yeah, but that was really my biggest nitpick or complaint about this, is that you really could have, I really wanted to see from the Native Americans and Mexican Americans' point of view. Like, thanks, Sparks, for being an actual stand-up citizen. That's your job. Like, I'll give a cookie where it deserves. He came back, he walked it like he talked it. Heck, I would have voted for Sparks if he would have ran for president after reading the stuff that he did. Like, he's one of the few white folks where I could be like, hey, you're actually all right. You know, like, all right. But for me, it would have been really nice to know who these people are that in certain scenes made me get emotional, because, oh boy, it was like, you remembered their names. You know, most of us would forget right. The names of these people, but these names should be remembered. And I just wish I would have seen more of their like experience in doing this. Because I feel like they really could have added to this. Even though they were following the book, they could have added a little bit more.
Sure. And feel free to roll into your final thoughts or your score.
I like this. If they extend this or do maybe another chapter in history, that would be great. Maybe do a different animation style. I actually am not opposed to watching this in animation. Maybe that's just the kid in me. But I don't like war films in general. But this was actually pretty decent. I will give this a 6 out of 10 letters that I wish a man would write me while he's away fighting for his country.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. Elliot, how about you?
Yeah, I don't really have much to say about this film. Actually, the more I think about this, the more I'm just kind of tired of this movie, miniseries, whatever. I've seen plenty of war movies in the past, Saving Private Ryan, Band of Brothers, Pacific, a bunch of others. Besides the animation, I just did not find a lot new here, a lot that was interesting. This movie kind of seems like it's trying to play catch up with a lot of stuff that is sort of taking another look at American history and our racist past. And it does that, but it's almost an afterthought, or sort of, I don't know, plugged in as a way to sort of make the whole film work as a vehicle. I was just incredibly bored by this film. You know, nothing much happens, or, you know, nothing much interesting happens that you haven't seen 1,000 times before in every single World War II movie that came out since World War II was happening. The acting was kind of good. I think a lot of it was kind of lost beneath this animation, which I still struggle with. If I had been in charge, I would have just dropped the animation entirely. I don't think there was any need for it. I don't think it added anything of value, really. I don't even really remember many of these characters' names. There's something a little bit, I don't know about sinister, but like a movie like this about this sort of like diverse crew of American soldiers coming together to do stuff just doesn't, I don't know, it just didn't sit right with me. Yeah, I really didn't like this film. I'm gonna give it 4 out of 10 times I'd rather be watching Saving Private Ryan.
Fair enough. Mark, how about you?
Well, it had the opposite effect on me. The animation threw me for a few moments in the first and second episodes. And then I just was used to it, and I just got over it. And then I saw details about why it might be there. Usually I give what I disliked about something. I mean, usually I do the positives and then I do the negatives. But I kind of like this, so I'm going to go the opposite way. The negatives, yes, the animation style is superfluous, most likely. But some of the reasons that Jenna gave kind of make sense, and I'm willing to accept it. It was interesting, but it made me focus more on the technique than the story, and that's a problem. That being said, that moment there are a lot of dangling little plot lines that are just put there, and then I realized, oh, it's biographical, so maybe that really happened, even though that has nothing to do with Felix Sparks, that the whole interchange with the Italian, Bostonian, and the Nazi. But you know, the little incidents like that, whatever. Okay, what I liked about it, I liked the amazing details like I was talking about. It is a beautifully shot film, which you could either say is enhanced or wrecked by the animation technique. I kind of think it's enhanced. It shows all aspects of this man's war experience, or maybe the war experience for in general. The strain of having to be an example and a lead, and also the horror of it in a lot of subtle ways, not just the obvious ways. Like there's a father-son team in the story, and There's a horrific moment where the father looks at the son and realizes that he's watching his son lose a big part of his soul, that the son is becoming somebody very different, and he can't stop it. It's also about the dumbass bureaucracy and how people that are at the top are kind of detached, and there's almost a court martial over an inhumanitarian mm-hmm. incident, which really has very little to do with what actually happened, but more to do with putting on a good example and avoid an international incident. They just want somebody to suffer for what happened. And when you see what happens, even though it's horrifying, what these people have already seen is so much more horrifying, especially when you have no... I mean, I was also spending the entire show waiting for that last episode because I knew that's when they find Dachau and they liberate it. And I knew it. And honestly, it delivers. And I've seen a lot of Holocaust stuff. And just you saw it through their eyes for a change. Like, what's in that cattle car? What's that smell? I mean, it's all of a sudden a little bit of a horror movie, which it should be. You know, mm-hmm. the fact that we ever got to that level and the fact that we could get to that level again. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty powerful. I liked the fact that there was a genuinely bunch of positive characters that are just doing the best they can. In both a horrific and possibly our greatest war, if you want to call it that. I really liked it. It really absorbed me. I'm going to call it 9 out of 10 absent friends.
Fair enough. Yeah, overall, I think I'm kind of right in the middle there. There's a lot that I like about this. I'm a huge fan of watching war movies. Mm-hmm. I get that from my dad. And it is very Band of Brothers. It seems to want to be a lot of that because of how much it tries to highlight a lot of these other characters. And the ones that you do remember, primarily like Coldfoot and Gomez, are really, really good characters. And there's some really cool and good moments. It seems very unfocused. And I don't know if that's the book or if that's them trying to actually show the mixture of the war. And it's like you focus so much on them being, you know, this great combination of, you know, the American experience, at least the Midwestern American experience, and then it doesn't really matter. And right. It's a lot of that imbalance for me. Mix that with a visual style that I think did consistently take me out of it. Occasionally it looks great, especially in stills, it looks great, but it really is superfluous. It's really unnecessary here. I think the last episode is almost the worst in the series. It's heavy. It's important, like Mark is saying, when they get to Dachau. But part of that is like they spend so much time almost meandering around this German city that feels like they just really overly compress things to where it feels like it's the course of a day when it's supposed to be like the course of multiple months almost. And then all of a sudden they're out at Dachau, and then that feels like it's rushed that they can then get to, you know, the bureaucracy trying to screw him. And so that they can then finally get to, you know, the higher ups going, you know, you suffered more than any man I know, including myself. You're a true hero. And that's great. And it's true. Men, and it just feels so rushed, especially in that last episode to me, after everything else was already kind of imbalanced for me. I don't know where to put this. I have recommended it to my dad, you know, as a World War II fan. I'm like, put this on in the background while you're doing other stuff around the house. You'll catch bits that you really like. You'll catch characters that you really like. I think our lead here, played by Bradley James, is actually incredibly likable. I just wish there was more balance to this. I mean, you know, it is what it is. There's worse things out there. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 guys that cheat at poker. I think that was poker. I don't know.
It was poker.
Oh, yeah. He should have really, now that I look at the casting of Captain America, I feel like I would have liked this guy a little bit more.
After this, sure.
Yeah, like he had that feeling where I was like, you know what? I would trust you if you asked me for help.